This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
This program is made possible by friends and partners of Apostle Arome Osai, Remnant Christian Network Ministry. God bless you as you join us.
The vision that God had about the nation He wanted to fructify was a nation of priests. And the idea of priests are people whose life is defined by their service to God. Now, even though this was the original vision, you will find out that eventually a lot of turbulence came. Satan fought that vision. And at the end of the day, it was only one tribe out of 12 tribes that was given to the priesthood. It means what was eventually accomplished was a shortfall from that which God envisaged. And the vision that God had, now in the New Testament context, God had found a possibility to implement His plan.
It's time to rebel against the devil. When he comes to you and tells you, you are a failure in ministry, you cannot amount to anything, he's telling you the opposite, because he lies as his native language. Is it Satan that spoke to you that made you lose your sleep? Is it because somebody spoke to you and you took his words like the word of God? Grow up. Because where you are going in life, many imposters will come and speak in the name of God just to get you distracted. That's one of the avenues of the devil's work. But you need to come out. You know how much power is available to you. You not give up easy. We fight to see the reality of that which God has spoken. And as long as it is yet to come to pass, we will fight.
The labor of equipping believers, it's a very slow kind of labor that requires it so much commitment. It is a very deliberate kind of initiative that so many people are no longer interested in. A lot of people have moved ministry to the fast lane where the indices of success in terms of numerical strength, financial muscle, international possibility are the factors that are considered as important. But sitting over one or two people, three or five people, and teaching them the way of righteousness doesn't look like very serious ministry in our time. But the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank God because He's putting hunger on the hearts of our brethren across the world, and they are beginning to seek content. They are beginning to desire depth. And it is for such a time that God has raised a few functionaries that He has labored over in the wilderness to bring that kind of service to the body of Christ in order for us to gravitate from the current infantile status, that is our description, into that mature status wherein we can adequately fulfill our firstborn status as a nation and as a church in the nation, giving direction to the nations of the earth and championing the move of God, as it is obvious that it is Africa's time of focus. I want to encourage us to be part of this project and to be intentional about it because of the profit that it will bring to the body of Christ and the strength that it will bring to the overall agenda of God. May the Lord bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Okay, having said that, I would like us to turn our Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 19. Now, this night, so when I teach for 20 minutes, then you come with strings, It's a good night to mount up with wings. Exodus 19. I trust God that the heavens will be open tonight in a very spectacular way. I already feel the hand of God heavy upon my head. I plead with him to show me the window through which that hand will be translated to much blessing in this conference. Exodus 19, verse 4 to 6. We will build a little, and the moment the hand of the Holy Spirit becomes stronger, we will switch. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my commandments, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now, I don't know if we may need to underline peculiar treasure. That means you'll be exclusive. You'll be in your own class. You'll be in your own category. I want to separate you from the rest of humanity. I want to separate you from the rest of the nations. But you will need to comply. You will need to accept my government. You will need to yield to my ways. And what I want to achieve when you have yielded to my ways is that I'm going to set you apart. You are going to be a spectacle. You are going to be an example that I'm going to point out to the nations what I intend to do with such people as hearken unto my voice. Now, so the idea here is God had a dream. And he was looking for a set of people through which he could fulfill his dream. And this set of people were going to be pedestaled as an example, as a spectacle, as a peculiar treasure, advertising the efficacy and the brilliance of the dream that God had in his mind. So that's the idea here. But when we go to verse 6, which is my emphasis, you will see the dream. God now takes a moment and unveils the dream that he has in mind. Hallelujah. India, for instance, is a nation of philosophy. Someone did a tour. I was just watching a documentary. Hallelujah. Because my education, apart from Bible education, it has continued. And I like to study cultures. I like to study the philosophies that support a lot of human behavior so that we can find the cracks and find the opportunities to slide in with the gospel. So I took on India and I found that it's a household of philosophy. So many strange things going on there. When you go to the United Kingdom, you see it's the center for education in all of the world. When you go to nations like Germany, you will see the ability that God has given them as a nation. They are an engineering nation. Those days when I was still in the oil industry and we did a lot of our engagements on ships, I was careful enough to find out that most of the ships that, you know, traversed the Nigerian waters had the engines that were made by the Germans. So there was this thing about Germans and engines. Scotland can come and do the upholstery, another nation can do another thing, but when it comes to engines, it belongs to the Germans. And you will see an engineering nation. And that's why Julius Berger will still be in the neighborhood for some time. Hallelujah. Now, but God was trying to sell his own vision, the concept that he had in mind about the nation that he wanted to fructify. First of all, he made a demand for Israel to bow to his sovereignty, his government, so that they'll be pliable in his hands available for his molding. That was the first requirement. And then in verse number 6, he reveals the dream. And ye shall be unto me a nation of priests. Like I said, India is a nation of philosophy. The United Kingdom is a nation of education. The Germany is a nation of engineering. Nigeria is a nation of what? May the Lord God Almighty send us help quickly in Jesus' name. The vision that God had about the nation he wanted to fructify was a nation of priests. And the idea of priests are people whose life is defined by their service to God. Now, even though this was the original vision, you will find out that eventually a lot of turbulence came. Satan fought that vision. And at the end of the day, it was only one tribe out of 12 tribes that was given to the priesthood. It means what was eventually accomplished was a shortfall from that which God envisaged. And the vision that God had, now in the New Testament context, God had found a possibility to implement his plan. And so the idea, are you there? The idea of the New Testament plane is that each and every one of us is going to be an active. In fact, your life in the kingdom is going to be descriptive of the kind of service that you are bringing to extend the frontiers of the kingdom of God. That's your description. You see, when we talk about service, unto God, it will be needful for us to put the fundamentals in place. And when I talk about the fundamentals, I'm talking about things that need to be in place in order for us to be able to serve God. The first fundamental about service to God is that you cannot serve God if you do not have a gift. God equips you. God empowers you with a gift so that you can have the kind of capacity that is needed for you to bring service in the name of the Lord. So there is no one that is in this place that is without a gift. And part of the areas where equipping is needed is to help each believer to identify his gift. Because this is the body of Christ, the church of Jesus, is that holy nation that is now a priesthood. Something that he intended to do with Israel that he could not accomplish, he has found the platform to implement it. We are now that nation of priests. And our identity in the kingdom of God is our service to God and our service for God. Now, in view of the above, therefore, we are going to look at the full scope of the catalog of gifts that are available. Your description in the kingdom of God is consistent with the shape, the type, the nature, and the measure of the gifts that you carry. That is your shape, that is your description. That is supposed to be what determines the kind of service that you can bring to the table. It's always a wonder when we find one brother, one sister that has sharpened his or her gift, the kind of blessing that flows out of that the life of that individual. For instance, whenever Theophilus has the microphone, he's like Elijah, one that can compare rain, spiritual rain, to come into a place and to come upon the heart of the people. His ministry is therapeutic. It treats the atmosphere just in case demons are locking. Darkness is locking. He has an analgesic. He has therapeutic capacities to treat the atmosphere. And after a while, only the Holy Ghost can transmit in the environment. It is... Okay, it's a good place to clap. Okay. That is how powerful a gift can be. There is, you see, Theophilus is not doing what he is doing because he's a singer. He's doing it because it's a gift. Some of us are not teaching because we are teachers. We are teaching because we have a gift to teach. You can teach because you have researched. You can teach because you have experience. But you will not have as much rank as people that teach because they have a gift to teach. There is no Bible school training, no theological training that you can do that can make you approximate to someone that has a gift to teach. When such a person teaches, his expositions are original. It's as if he was there when the Bible was written. It is because he's piping out from the deposit of spiritual capital, which is in form of what? Gift. Now, we want to quickly... It's Equip Conference. It's Equip Conference. So, we want to quickly take inventory of the shapes and types of gifts available to believers. And when I say available to believers, I'm not talking about fivefold ministry. I'm talking about the believer's ministry. And that's the fundamental. That's the first level. So that you can appreciate some of the deposits that you have despised, that has not made you significant in the world of service to God and service through God. Romans chapter 12, beginning from verse number 4. Romans chapter 12, beginning from verse number 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. It means that what you have is required to complete someone else. Because the principle from that statement there, everyone and everyone members one of another. Everyone members one of another. First of all, it introduces us to the principle of interdependence as opposed to independence. Hallelujah. Interdependence as opposed to independence. I found out that if God sovereignly connects you to a brother, connects you to a sister, what he has in mind is that there is a little bit of that which the sister has received from God that God wants you to tap. Because the overall context in which our ministries function is the metaphor used here is a body. And the principle of the body is the principle of interdependence. And so what you have is designed to improve me. What I have is designed to improve you because we are members one of another. Not members of yourself, but one of another. Thereby creating the principle of interdependence. It's not everybody that can prophesy in terms of, it's not everybody that has the gift of prophecy. But there is an aspect of prophecy that every believer has the capacity to exercise. Right? And if you bring your measure, if you do not shut down your measure and you make your measure available, it will be released for the building of the corporate body. And just in case there is no measure that is flowing out of your life, you are negating the fundamental principle of interdependence, and there is a weakness that the body of Christ is suffering just because your dimension is not coming. Now, each and every one of us is supposed to understand the deposits of God that have been engineered into you, and the objective is for the building of the body of Christ, so that God will have a man that is thoroughly furnished as a body, capable of prosecuting his purpose within the landscape of the context of their ecosystem. Now, I would like us to move a little further, and we have how many ingredients here? We have about 9 ingredients. But we are going to take the basic one. Maybe we'll take ingredient number 1. And then we'll dwell on that. All right. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. You know, I said that you cannot serve God except you have a gift. So God knows that there's nothing you can do in the flesh that can qualify to be service to his name. So he provides the tools by which you can serve him. He provides the tools by which you can represent him. He provides the tools by which you can manifest him. So the Bible is saying that these gifts are as a result of a certain investment. They stem out of an investment, and the investment that is captured here is grace. I need to explain this. I just pray the Lord grants me the right words to explain this matter. You will notice that the list of gifts here are believer gifts. And what the scripture is saying, that the investment that God makes, which produces these gifts, the investment is called grace. So we can call them the gifts of grace. There are two kinds of gifts, two categories of gifts that we are supposed to look into. One of them is in this category, the gifts of grace, the gifts that are made available according to a unique, special kind of grace that God has committed to us. Then we have the gifts of the Spirit. These are two different things. And I'd like us to appreciate the differences. There is a fine blend that the Holy Spirit paints when he talks about the gifts of grace as opposed to the gifts of the Spirit. Now, the Bible says, having then gifts differing according to the grace of that is given unto us. It means that if I have a different kind of grace from the one you have, that different kind of grace supports a different expression of gift. If you don't have the grace that I have, you cannot do what I do as a result of the empowerment that comes through that grace. You know, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If you don't have it, forget about it. What you are seeing is the manifestation. There is something that is powering it. That thing is unseen, but that's the investment that God made that is reaping this type of service. The other day, we went for a meeting. God moved in the place. So I was trying to go out, wiggle my way out, and I was mobbed. Some people wanted to take my body. People wanted to take something. Because they were told, they were taught that if a man of God is coming and you can maybe touch him or you take something from him home, his body, you have contacted. You see, a lot happened to us when people stopped discipleship. A lot happened to us when evangelists became pastors. A lot. Hallelujah. 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 You see, we are in the equip center, so we have liberty to craft, to bring out the craft of the beauty of God's skill as he manages the body of Christ. Now, so these guys felt they would tap something, maybe by contact. The closest person to me is my wife. She makes contact, and for many years, she did not tap. Oh, hallelujah. For many years, she didn't tap anything. Then she came to me and said, okay, why is it that I am not growing? You are growing. It's evidence. Then I began to teach her the principles by which grace works. Grace. Having therefore gifts differing according to what? The grace that is given unto. First of all, grace is given. Grace is given. It's just like the Bible says that no man can receive anything except it be given unto him, not from the pastor, not because I am willing, but it's given from above. So there are principles that you can furnish that will make him that is above to be favorably disposed toward you in allocating to you. There are principles. But the spiritual energy that powers a gift is called grace. Hallelujah. You know, we are maturing. Those days we didn't know the difference when people played. Now we do. If you play in the flesh, we can trace that sound is not from heaven. Hallelujah. Okay. He has arrived there. There's no way I can describe what is happening. There's no way. It's according to grace. There's no way. Grace. There is obviously what you do, you have grace for it. Yeah. You are not just an architect. You have a lot of friends that are architects. You have grace for what you do. Grace. 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 There is something that never fails with me. If I take the scripture and I say, okay, let me just study for 5 minutes. The scripture speaks to me. It's grace. Things that I will see for 5 minutes, some people may not even see for 5 years. It's grace. Not because I'm better, but I have grace in that area. And so when you locate the fact that there is grace in a certain area, you need to labor to sharpen it. There are a lot of people that receive grace like Theophilus, but he sharpened his own. He discovered that what propels it is intercession. So he gives himself to fasting, gives himself to prayer. So that fasting and prayer, which is a discipline that he has now assumed because he has found grace, became the propeller for the grace. He shaped the grace. And so the substance, are you there? The substance of the grace that he carries is actually intercession. So when he begins to sing, he does something like music. But what he's transmitting is the spirit of supplication and intercession. And you see that reaction in the congregation. Some people might sit under his worship for 2 hours, 3 hours and never sing. But they cannot stop praying. And they don't know why. They are not prayerful people.
They've not prayed for long. They backslid. But when they come under that grace, the grace seemed to have a way of operating them. Because a man found it and he began to tend it. Began to sharpen it. And in the kingdom of God, the secret to greatness is service. So if you know your cutting edge, if you know your endowment, and you sharpen it, it will bring, make you great. You are looking for greatness in other ways. You will spend a lot of time. But if you sit, if you use the grace you have located as a means for your adventure, you will arrive at the king's palace. If I wake up in the morning, I don't study my Bible. What I do is pray. What makes my the gift of teaching, what opens it up is prayer. If I've gone for some time, if I look at one scripture, oh, there's no way you can see it. You can't see it. The gift itself begins to teach. And I can leave the scripture and go to the market, but the gift is still teaching. I'm not reading the Bible, but the gift is talking. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, then he mentions the first gift. And it happens to be that this gift, every believer has access to it. Are you here? One gift can set you on a pedestal. If you identify it and you begin to develop it, it can set you on the pedestal. But the point is this, the average believer doesn't know how to take inventory of the divine deposits that he has received. And so he's looking for what is not lost. He's looking for prosperity, looking for something without. Meanwhile, God always establishes by things that are within. I knew that the most robust molecule of gifting that I had was in the area of a teaching gift. So I developed it. I studied. And indeed, I still study. I study wide. I study culture. I study wide. So that I have the mind that the Holy Spirit can possess. He can elongate it. Because of the little studies I've done. To be able to show me things that people rush and never get to see. I sat in that my teaching, and people from different parts of the world are willing to pay for their fare to come and hear me teach, because when a gift is developed, it's attractive. It's so attractive. It can draw people. It can draw kings. But don't forget our slogan. It was Gideon that brought that slogan. He said, Gentiles, they will come into your light. But kings will only come into the brightness of your rising. It is when your gift begins to shine bright, that's when kings will come. That's when kings will come. May you not attend to Gentiles all your life. May the Lord give you the honor of also tending to kings, because you that gift is shining with intensity. Okay, the first on the list here, out of the list, is prophecy. And this is prophecy not according to the gift of the Spirit, but it is prophecy according to the gift of grace. Prophecy by grace, not prophecy by gift of the Spirit. I think I need to explain to us the difference. But it will interest you to know that according to scriptures, every believer in Jesus Christ has the capacity to prophesy according to the grace of God. Let us establish that first before I begin to differentiate and tell you the peculiarity of this expression. And I need to say that in our generation, there is such a short supply of this flow of life.
Anybody there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14? I remember my mom one day attended a conference that I was the speaker. After 2 days into the conference, she came to me in the night and said, "The way you are teaching this thing, I'm understanding it too." It's becoming, it's a gift. There was even a woman that could not speak English. She sits under the teaching. I don't know how she understands. Until one day we brought a minister, a foreign minister, to come and preach. At the end of the message, the woman came to me and said, he pointed the minister, he did like this, spoke thief language. Say, I didn't understand the thief language she was speaking, but I got the sign. Say, no, it. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24. But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not. My emphasis there is if all prophesy. That means the entire congregation has the capacity to prophesy this way. Verse 31. Give me 31 quickly. If all prophesy. Oh my God. Who is the technical person there? Receive life in Jesus' name. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and that all may be comforted. So it is possible for everybody. And I want to tell us that this stream of life is in short supply. Meanwhile, Apostle Paul says it is possible for all of us to exercise this gift, and all of us may prophesy. I'm going to explain it and describe it. Then we will now allow the Holy Ghost to help us. There is great power in that tributary of life that the church has despised. But I pray that this Equip conference this year will be a trigger of this flow, a trigger of this tributary, in the name of Jesus Christ. For instance, when someone is under the influence of the gift of prophecy, this is the kind of service that the person releases. First of all, the person speaks in the language of his thought. The idea of prophecy is a mouthpiece for God, a vocal cord for God. And so what God does is that he takes advantage of a man's or a woman's vocal cord and he uses it to speak to a people, speak to a person, speak to a king, speak to a nation, speak to a generation. So that's the idea of prophecy. The thing about prophecy in terms of the gift version, this gift of the spirit version, is that it comes according to inspiration. What I mean by that is it comes at the spur of the moment. The utterance is consistent with the inspiration that flows out at the spur of the moment. You see, are you there? There are two ways God speaks. God either speaks by revelation or God speaks by inspiration. The gift of the Spirit is captured. The gift of the Spirit called prophecy is within the corridor of inspiration. So right there, as I'm preaching, the Holy Ghost might come upon me and in the language of my thought, he begins to speak. And as long as the inspiration is still flowing, the vocal expression is still flowing,
And the moment the inspiration stops, the vocal expression stops. It is at the spur of the moment. It is instant. But see, in the gift of grace, are you still here? Are you still here? In the gift of the Spirit, prophecy as a gift of the Spirit, you do not have the liberty to choose your words. The Spirit of God gives you the words that you speak. He dictates to you and you say what is being dictated. But in the gift of grace, which is prophecy, you receive the download and then you can choose how you communicate it. Time of communication is different from time of reception. Is that clear? Are you with me? So you can receive it last year and then you find liberty this year to communicate it. And you can choose your words. You can even use parables. Maybe the thing is sensitive and you know that if you say it publicly, you might become a victim. And then you now use a parable and say, a big fish was taken out of the river. So he that has ears, let him hear what they speak. So there is a difference in time between the time of reception and the time of delivery. But in both cases, what you are doing is that you are a vocal cord for God, you are a mouthpiece for God, and you are saying what God is saying. Is that clear? Now, when it is a gift of grace, maybe while you were communing with God, the thing drops, and then you now say, okay, this is how I'm going to say it. Say it like this, say it like that. You can choose how to, but the choice of delivery is not part of the gift of prophecy because it are dictations from God and they are dictations to be released at the spur of the moment. It holds sway as long as the inspiration keeps flowing. And so Paul says, ye all may prophesy. Oh my God. Ye all may what? Prophesy. Let us talk about characteristics of prophecy by grace. First characteristic or first thing to note about it is that it is different from the gift of prophecy or the office of a prophet. It is not a function of a stream of inspiration that compels instant speaking. It's an inspiration that comes to you that you can choose to speak what came through inspiration in another time. So there's a difference between the capture time, the delivery time, the download time, and the speaking time. Is that clear? What determines that it is accurate? Are you there? What determines that it is accurate is that it must be spoken according to the proportion of faith. That means that when God releases this thing, He also releases an accompaniment of faith, which should be the support the speaking. So you only say that which you receive. That's what your inner faith can support. Now, if you want to do this kind of gift and you say more than what God is saying, hallelujah, you have strayed, you have gone beyond the proportion of faith that was released to support it. So it is no longer the gift, it is no longer prophecy. Because in prophecy, you are God's mouthpiece. If you move to become your own mouthpiece, we cannot call that prophecy. Because God will not support it. Is that clear? So it is declared according to the proportion of faith that God makes available. The moment you receive that thing, you will know it is the counsel of God. You will know it is the word of God. The part, the thing you receive, the actual thing you receive, there will be faith in your heart to support it, that this is the counsel of God. It is that faith that gives you the conviction that these words are true, these words are reliable. It's the inner membrane that supports what you have received from God, and you should speak it according to the very proportion of that faith and not beyond what that faith can support. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Now, in our business, in ministry, we, once and again, some people that want to participate in politics, they come to us seeking our help. And that's not bad. Hallelujah. As much as we have feedback from heaven, we help as many as possible. But in my experience along that line, I found out that politicians don't want negative prophecies. They say, you actually did not succeed in this election. So, can you divert investment? As treacherous as it is to bring a word of God to a politician, the Bible instructs that if you are giving this kind of prophetic utterance, it must be according to the faith that God has provided. It is not to please the person. It is the counsel of God. And the general idea of a prophet is a mouthpiece of God. I was brought to this city before I knew you. I was brought here. It was a politician that invited me. He wanted me to check if the text of the terrain of election will favor his rise. And he put me in one of your hotels. I've forgotten the name of the place. And that night when I stood up and prayed, I saw that he stumbled. He stumbled on a big stone and he did not recover. Normally when I go on those trips, I go with my transport money because I've learned my experience. I have learned that when you afflict a politician with a message that seems to be negative to his ambition, he will disconnect from you instantly. So you now take your own transport and you make your way to your destination. So I told him that there's a heavy stone that is coming and he's going to be stumble at that stone in like that. But the stone I was talking about was a relative of his trying to vie for the same post. It was because two of them rose up that they lost favor and two of them were disqualified. And then he called me after he was disqualified and said, it's as if I know that the stone that you're talking about. When I said what I said, I didn't even know what the stone would be. You must understand that because you are a prophet or given a prophetic word doesn't make you God. There are many things about what you are saying that you don't even know the details. So you declare it according to the proportion of faith. If you violate that faith element, you become a liar. And also be truthful to people to tell them, if God has not spoken, tell them, the Lord. Somebody sent me a message, said somebody's in coma. Can you help us find out the mind of God? 8 hours later, the person said, God, what do you think? Who do you think God is? So people will put you under pressure to lie. The moment you have started lying, you have started losing that gift. Before the Holy Ghost can trust you with a download again, it will take time. He said, ye all may. It means that God can drop something upon your heart. He can lay something upon your heart. And as long as we are alive in the spirit, we are channels of the counsel of God. Now, let me do. Oh my God. Let me end with this scripture. Because
The time for practical has come. Go to the book of Revelation. Revelation 19, as I round up. You must speak according to the proportion of faith. You must know that every believer can operate in this. And the nature of prophecy is Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 9. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true saints of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see that thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus. What Jesus is saying is what the spirit of prophecy gives us ability to be able to trap. It gives us the ability to trap what Jesus is saying. The moment we go into prayer now, because we have spoken about prophecy, the Spirit of God is likely to open it. Likely. There's a 40% likelihood that they will open that channel in a moment of time. Can you raise that? Now, this is practical. I'm going to pray for the sick eventually and release blessings as the Lord enables me. But you don't need to stand for now. This is a practical aspect of our lecture. In the Equip Center, we don't only teach theory. We teach the theoretical aspect, and the Lord makes grace available for us to be able to move into the practical aspect. The Bible says, despise not prophesying. There is a dimension of strength that comes when everyone is alive in the spirit and the counsel of God comes forth. It is easy for us to detect when the devil has a plan against our company. It is easy for us to detect when the devil has a plan against an individual. It is easy for us to know what we need to avoid as a congregation. I remember a church in London, one of the thriving churches in London, and then in a little prayer meeting for the space of 2 to 3 months, a word came, and this word keeps coming. It was consistent for like 3 months. Do not admit ministers from America. That was the utter. Do not admit ministers from America. And so the leader of the prayer group documented some of the prophecies and handed it over to the senior pastor. The message was clear. Do not admit ministers from America. When the ministry came to a certain point, and it was as if the American guys were the ones that had the show in terms of ministry. American ministers. And I know one of the people that was in the hospitality department of that particular church, hospitality department. And he told me a story, a strange story. One of the American preachers that came to minister. They came to pay the hotel bills, and the hotel said there are additional bills. What are we paying for again? And the hotel brought evidence to show that all the while the guy was in the hotel, he was accessing pornographic sites, and that is additional cost. The cost is stupendous because it's a luxury that you can afford to despise. It's available, but you can do without it.
the American guy that was preaching, that people were saying, yeah. When he comes back from the meeting, he comes down with pornography. Before we knew it, corruption had entered. And you know, when intercessors rise late, may the Lord give you understanding. He said, despise not prophesies. Can we use a moment of time to ask God, can you restore the stream of prophesying again to the body of Christ so that we can be helped by the superlative insight that comes from the stream of the Spirit? Can you restore it again in my life, in our generation, in the body of Christ, that stream of prophecy, so that we will not err in judgment, so that we will not depart from the way? Can you constrain us with words that come hot from your presence? He said, despise not prophesies. I can't hear your voice there. I can't hear your voice. Something must rise from among us. It must rise again in the body of Christ. Those days where Satan and his activities were checked, and Satan could not advance because the gates were manned by men that were alive. Restore the tributary of prophecy. Prophecy. Let men speak forth again under the influence of the Holy Ghost, that the secret things might be brought to light, the hidden things might be revealed, the things that lock in darkness might be arrested, that, oh my God, the strategies of heaven might come to mind. Let the tributary of the Spirit and the grace of prophecy, let it flow again.
That the tributary of prophecy speaking forth the counsel of God might become commonplace again in the body of Christ. Yasubina Tadibokoria. Yes! Kufesadi Kopre, Papido Kopres Kabedaita, Vamatanta Babalatua, Brekatadido Doseke, Zikopre Nababoria, Abalanta Labasekata, Makabedo Kobelatia, Isoselia, Isosakamanta, Isosekopi, Ambraseli, Antalatos, Antalizanai, 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 Abalamananamo, Obela Isose, Abizosananta, Abantonteli, Antamina Seli, Yatatalababodeba, Yatasomoto, Abrescobilatua, Abresaminate, Abresecatalia, Abrescobilatiala, Abresosali, Abratababolo, Abrantaba Samalata, Brantaba Sobilata, Santana Babolebado, Zabilata Lababodebacada, Abasusela, Abapatelia, Abacolima Santa, Yatetombre, Yakabosame, Yakabasalaboria, Ensosela Mantala, Icamantala Babodogola, Brasanid, Abaito Cobelate, Yato Sante, Yato Boko Batala, Intanecubila Talia. Oh, Sakuba. Let the streams be restored again. That the plans of the enemy might come to light. That the strategies of the kingdom of darkness might be made bare. That the policy direction of heaven might be unraveled. That the mind of God might be made plain. Oh! Oh! Yeah, la 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 la. In the name of Jesus. Listen. The Lord speaks to me. This is what the Lord says. He said, I will restore again the stream of prophecy, and the rivers shall be mighty floods among you. He also said, this shall be a sign unto you, that I will separate 12 vessels in this meeting, this night. I will separate 12 vessels unto myself as vessels of prophecy. They will become major channels through which my counsel will come, through which my counsel will come in dark places. I will use them to shed light. Now, there will be 12 people that the anointing will descend upon if what I said is true. 12 people. 12 people. The hand of God will come upon them. 12 of them. 12 of them. And then there will be an impartation. There will be a release. The hand of God will be so mighty, and then from tonight you will be a vessel unto prophecy, set apart to bring the counsel of God. Once and again, the God will seize your vocal cord, and he will plant words that you will speak unto your generation. There are 12 of them. There are 12 of them. And the hand of God is coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. I sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I sense the anointing. It's in the room. Yes, 12 vessels. Oh, there are 12 of them. There are 12 of them. I see a fire. I see a flame. A flame. It comes upon a lady. The lady is towards the center, towards the middle of the hall. There's a fire. It's coming upon that lady. You have been consecrated. You have been chosen. You have been set apart to be a vessel of prophecy. And the hand of God, it descends stronger. It descends stronger. It descends stronger. vessels of prophecy, vessels of prophecy, vessels of prophecy. A new thing begins tonight. And you will hear a voice behind you say, this is the way, walk therein. There is a river about to come into this building. There is a river. There is a river. There is a river of God. Oh my God. Oh my God. There's three special vessels. Three special vessels. The Lord will set them apart. There is a river coming. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Jesus son of Atalia, Apatose, Ekelia Tabode, Ekelia, 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 Ekelia. Those days come again when people that sin will be afraid to come to church because it will come out to be exposed. There will be so much light that there will be no room for darkness to lock about. Oh! No room! Then true prophets will emerge in Nigeria. True prophets. Not liars. The Lord wants to heal somebody's eyes. Oh my God. Oh my God. I see an angel of the Lord high into the heavens. Woo! Clothed, decked with fire. Decked with fire. Decked with fire. In the next 12 seconds, someone will feel fire burning on your body. Burning in the next 12 seconds. In the next 12 seconds. Burning. Literal burning. Literal burning. Literal burning will come upon you. Oh. Oh. Burnings. Flames of fire. God is set to war. Palito ke masi. Mine ke to sika meni. Iso konde. Palito kodia. Benti se ke lamon dami. Ah. 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 Oh, my Father. Holy Ghost, I am.
I want to pray for that person. If you need glasses to read, to see, remove the glasses. Put your hands on your eyes. Just lay your hand. Lay your hands on your eyes. The Lord will open your eyes in a moment. Restore your sight. Do not remove your hands from your eyes if you are expecting God to do a miracle on your eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every blinding spirit. Blinding spirit, be bound. Blinding spirit, be bound. Blinding spirit, be bound. Come out of the eyes in the name of Jesus Christ. I decommission you tonight. And I command you, be gone in the name of Jesus. Now I command those eyes. I see in the name of Jesus. Now, remove your hands from your eyes and run a test on it quickly. Why we sing this song twice? Holy Ghost, run. Theophilus, can you help me?
Oh, fire. Holy Ghost, fire burn everywhere. Oh, fire. Holy Ghost, fire burn. Oh, fire. Holy Ghost, fire burn everywhere. Oh, fire. Holy Ghost, fire burn. Oh, fire, Holy Ghost, fire burn everywhere. Oh, Holy Ghost, oh, fire, fire. Oh, fire, oh, fire, Holy Ghost.
I am waiting for somebody that the Lord has healed the eyes. If you are the one, come up. God has healed somebody's eyes. Come up here. Come up. And come up quickly. Come up quickly. There is a reason why I asked you to come up. Maybe, Dr. Joshua, you find out what's going on there. No, you don't need to kneel down. Please, please. Stand up. Stand up. Now, listen, I'm seeing... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. After this, we'll pray a prayer. We'll pray a prayer for Nigeria. I'm seeing a powerful angel of judgment here. We can release him through prayer. Alright? As we pray the will of God for the land, he will go to work. There are a few times when I see this kind of vision. Okay?
Holy Ghost fire.
Oh my God. The Lord said, I should tell you that your time has come. for weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning time.
Oh, fire, Holy Ghost fire.
That they looked unto him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The Lord takes shame from your face. He will honor you and beautify you. In a short while, you will see a sign. I'm hearing something, but I need to test it. Can we pray in tongues for 2 minutes? Just 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. All right. In the name of Jesus. I was hearing a name, Franca. If you are here with that name, come up here. Come up here. Franca. There is a Franca. I'm hearing that in my spirit. I heard it twice. If your name is Franca, come here. Yes, Doc, what's happening there?
He couldn't see far distances.
Couldn't see far distances. What's the name of that?
What's it? Long-sightedness? Long-sightedness.
Long-sightedness. So what happened to you? Did you feel anything when I prayed?
Yes, sir.
What was the feeling?
I was feeling like something was removing from my eyes.
Okay, something was coming out of the eyes.
Yes.
And now you can see far?
Yes, sir.
Where is Franca? The Lord brought you here because today will be the beginning of that which He will do. There is a deposit of grace that will come upon you today, and you will remember this is where it all began. Father, this is Frank, and I ask that you shower upon her with the grace that she needs to go this journey, this isolated journey that you have called her to walk upon. Let grace come upon her life tonight for the journey. Yes?
She used to have migraines.
Migraines.
Loud sound affected her eyes. She couldn't see well when there's loud sound. And she came in with headaches, actually. But as the prayer was going, the headaches went and she can see properly.
She can see properly. Yeah?
Okay, he couldn't, when there's bright light, he couldn't see well. He couldn't look at bright lights. But as the prayer was going, now he can look at bright lights.
I'm seeing things opening. See. Woo! Okay, it's actually the Fortress Ministry. Do you know that there was a satanic gate? That Satan was laboring to shut a gate so that the ministry will not. But that gate has opened. I believe that in the next 10 months, what we'll see on that building in terms of supply will be much more than what. The gate is open. Yes. I say to you that your voice will be heard. Oh! You just passed that gate. So I just saw that like a flash. Yes?
She couldn't read small prints.
Couldn't read small prints. And then the Lord touched your eyes. Glory to God. We give you praise. Oh my God. The Lord is also putting a blessing upon your hands. Yes? Glory to God. We thank you. Glory to God, we thank you. Glory to God, we give you praise. Yes. Now, I have something I want to release as, oh my God. So, four of you, let me find out. Where is Theophilus? Raise that voice, raise that voice, raise that voice, raise that voice.
Oh.
All right, there's one of you here. The Lord wants to put an anointing upon you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you choose the one of your choice and place an anointing. Let it come strong upon that individual. Let it come so powerfully. Let it come so powerfully. In the name of Jesus, I ask that you stretch forth your hand and let that anointing flow on that individual that you have chosen. Among these ones that are standing on this stage, let your hand come strong. Let it come stronger. Let it come so strong. Let it come so strong. Let it come so strong. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. And let this anointing be an equipment that will support these people, an equipment that will protect them, an equipment that will keep them from harm, keep them from injury. I ask, oh God, that that anointing might be released. Let it be released. Let it be released. Let it come strong upon them, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. That one that you have chosen, let it begin to pour out. Let it begin to pour out. Let heaven be open over that life so that you can begin to empower that destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. From the crown of your head.
Be blessings and glory and honor and power.
Oh, okay. What God is doing is that he's removing you from the circle of delay. There is a delay. There's a delay he's taking away from your life. Your life was placed on pause, but now it's placed on play. Play. Placed on play. There are three people this way, three people here. There are three people here. Now, God will do something like a surgery. He will do something like a surgery on you so that when you hear the voice of God, it will sound as though it were audible. That surgery will take place on three people. Three people this way. Three people this way. To come in form of an anointing. And from tonight, hearing God will no longer be a challenge. Show me a sign. Show me a sign. Show me a sign. Show me a sign.
And power forever. Oh, be blessed and glory and honor and power forever.
Hey!
Oh, be blessed and glory and honor and power forever. Be blessing and glory and honor and power forever. Be blessing and glory and honor, power forever.
I see someone here. What I see in the spirit is that three witches, for the past 9 days, have been trying to break your defenses and come and suck your blood. You have been under spiritual attack for the past 3 months, and for the past 9 days, three witches have been trying to break through your defenses to come and suck your blood. And you see strange dreams of torment. Strange kinds of things have been happening to you. Tonight the Lord brought you here so that he can place a defense over your life. Oh my God. And the hand of God, the hand of God, the hand of God will come upon you so that you can be defended even tonight in the name of Jesus.
Be blessing and glory and honor and power forever.
If those witches come this night, if those witches come again this night, this will be the last night that they will see life.
Be blessing and glory and honor.
Hey! Remove it in the name of Jesus.
Be blessing and glory and honor, power forever.
We remove it in the name of Jesus.
You have won a battle, and there will be a sign. The things that you tried before and failed, when you try now, it will succeed. The resistance has been lifted. The covering cast has been taken away. The hand of God is with you. Oh my God.
Be blessed.
Finally, before I drop the microphone, can we pray for Nigeria? Say, Lord, that which has kept this nation in bondage, release your judgment to put an end to it. Can you cry? Can you cry? Can you cry? Can you cry?
Can you cry?
That which has kept the land in perpetual bondage. Nigeria, prosper again. Nigeria, rise again. Nigeria, shine again.
Seven and a half.
To know more about Apostle Aroma Osai and his ministry, Remnant Christian Network, kindly visit at rcnglobal.org and follow us on social media platforms, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Apostle Aroma Osai, or call +234 8060 50 8888. God bless you.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.